And we'll read the word this morning out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into the time of your word, I pray that, Lord, that you would just expand our hearts to receive and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit would say to us. And Father, as the challenge of fasting, Lord, would come alive inside of us today, I pray that, Lord, that we would live a fasted lifestyle, that you'd give us the strength and the wisdom to live a fasted lifestyle, Lord, so that we, Lord, can be in touch with you all the time. And Father, I pray that your word speak life to us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. You know, fasting is not just something you do to get something. You know, a lot of times fasting is something you do to get rid of something. Maybe something that you don't want. And I've done this illustration before. I'm going to do it again. Bob, why don't you come here? Yeah, Bob and Juwan, why don't you come? And Sam, why don't you come over here too? Here, Bob, you stand over here on this side. And Sam, come on, hurry up, man. In the middle, and Juwan's over right here. So, you know, we're made up of three parts. We have our body, we have our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and then we have our spirit. Now, our spirit, man, is what gets born again, okay? And our mind and our will and emotions is what we're working out every day to bring them under subjection to the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, the body is loud, can be obnoxious, cries a lot, whines a lot, says a lot, is hungry all the time. So, you can see the body is bigger than everybody else. The body makes more noise than everybody else. But we want this guy, the spirit, to hear like never before. So in order to do that, we've got to silence the voice of the body so that our mind can receive from the spirit, so that our will could be surrendered to the spirit, so that our emotions are under the control of our spirit and not of our flesh. So what fasting does is it chokes out the flesh. It silences the voice of the flesh. This is one reason why fasting is very important. It silences this so that this guy can hear what this guy is saying. So that the spirit, soul, and the mind, the will, and the emotions come under control of the Spirit of God. This is one of the major reasons that we fast. We're choking this guy. We are killing our flesh. Amen? We need to silence our flesh so that our mind can hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right, you guys sit down. Thank you. So, today, as we talk about fasting, I want to give you reasons why to fast, so that you understand what is the purpose in fasting, so that you don't think, oh, well, we're going to fast. No, there's got to be a reason we do it. We don't do it just to get, but although we do receive when we fast. But, you know, we were in prayer Friday night. Where's Priscilla? Priscilla, you started reading Isaiah 58. I'm like, she's reading my message, man. It was wonderful because you're praying by the Spirit of God what we were talking about today. And that's, you know, when people tell me, they say, Pastor, I read that passage this week. I was praying about that. You know, when that happens, that just means we're walking in the Spirit together. It's the same Spirit, amen? And we're in tune. So I want to give you some things that, reasons why we should fast, to encourage you to enter into fasting even this week. So, number one, you know, besides choking out that flesh, number one is humility. Humility. Psalms 35, verse 13, it says this. It says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. He humbled himself with fasting. See, there's a wonderful promises of God when we humble ourselves before Him. Amen? James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You see, when we humble ourselves, God lifts us up. To give you a great example, Jesus humbled Himself, became like a man, came to this earth, left the throne room of God, came to this earth. He died a sinner's death, even though He didn't have sin, for us. And then God exalted Him to His right hand. See, that is a wonderful picture of humility. And God is saying, if you humble yourself before Me with fasting, I will lift you up. I will build you up. I will encourage you. Amen? And, you know, in that passage in James, it says this in my Bible. It says, before it talks about humility, it says, humility cures worldliness. How many of you have any worldliness? I think we could all raise our hand that we have a little bit of worldliness to us. And I believe that God wants to get the worldliness out of us, work it out. So fasting, if we humble ourselves before the Lord, that's the cure to getting rid of the worldliness in us. So I want to encourage you to humble yourself before the Lord with fasting. Number two, humble yourself before the Lord. Fast to come closer to God. How many of you want to get closer to God? Amen. Me too. I always want to get. You can never, in this life, you will never get too close to God. Okay? You will never arrive at a point that you're so close to God that you don't need to try anymore. That will not happen in this lifetime. And if anybody tells you that, run from them. Because there's nobody that shouldn't be pressing into the Lord, drawing near to God. In James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you, okay? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, the thought is that we draw near to God, Edward, by we submit our life to God. We humble ourselves to the Lord. We realize, because when I submitted my life to God, when I submit my life to God, what I'm telling God is, I can't do this. I can't do this. I need You, Father. I need You, Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to be here. See, because when I... Robert, when I focus on Jesus, I'm able to resist the devil because I'm focused on Jesus. Because when I'm focused on Jesus, see, the enemy is always trying to throw things at you. You see, you make a commitment to fast today. You say, oh, I'm going to fast. You know, and I'm going to ask you to fast. I'm going to ask you to fast a specific day and a specific meal. And I guarantee you, on that day this week, you will be so hungry. Because the devil knows if you stay submitted to God and you resist what your flesh is saying, over here, the enemy has to flee. He has to go from you. He can't stay around. He has to go. It's just like, and I know I've told this before, but when it comes to tithing, I used to struggle with tithing. I mean, it was hard, Bob. I'm going to give up 10% of my money to the Lord. Wow. You know, we'd struggle financially, and you know, we'd have a battle financially, and Delon would say, did you tithe? I mean, tithe? How in the world am I supposed to tithe? I ain't got the money to pay our bills. How am I supposed to tithe? She'd be like, well, we'll never have enough until you learn to tithe. She's like, oh. See, she wouldn't just go and do it. She put it on me, because it's my job. It's my thing. I'm the head of my house, man. I need to write that check. I shouldn't be saying to her, did you write the check today? No, it's my responsibility. I'm the head of my house. I'm going to make sure the tithe is in there. So some men prayed for me one time, because I confessed. I said, man, I'm having a hard time. Because you know what I do? I would say, Jesus, I'm going to tithe, man. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to be a tither. And I'd get amped up. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give to the Lord. And then the car motor would blow up. I'd be like, Lord, I'm going to tithe after I fix my car. Because the Lord wants me to have a car. He wants me to go to work every day. You know what? My car motor right now is blown up. I'm not taking my tithe to fix my car. I can sit there and rot for all I care. I'll walk. I don't care. As long as like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, I know it doesn't matter. It's only 4 miles. If I have to walk to work, I can walk. I mean, even Vicky's offered me a ride on Mondays. Hey, I'll give you a ride. I don't care. See, the material things can't matter more than the kingdom. See, so but when you make a commitment to submit your life to God, to become Christ-centered, to focus on His way of doing things, His way of doing right, the devil doesn't go, oh no, I need to get out of here. The devil goes, let's see. Let's see. Let's see if you could do that. Let's see if you could fast this week. Oh boy, I'm gonna throw it. You know what happens? You start fasting, somebody invites you to dinner. And you get so excited, you say, Yeah, let's go to dinner, you know? And you're sitting there and you're eating, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to be eating right now. It just happens that way. The enemy doesn't just go, well, we better leave them alone. The enemy goes, well, let's see what they can do. See, so that's the thing. When you make that commitment to draw close to God, we humble ourselves, we make that move towards God. He moves towards us. But the one thing the Lord will not do, He'll not usurp your will. He'll not move beyond your will. He will only go in you as far as you say, yes, Lord. And we were singing, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. If you were paying attention to that song, what you made commitments to today, oh my gosh, I'd go look it up on Google. What's the name of that song? Is it Yes, Lord? Trading My Sorrows. I'd look up those words. Because you said yes, 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 yes. I remember, Delonda wasn't feeling good today. That's why she's not here, so I'm going to talk about her. Don't tell her I said anything, okay? When Lucy was here, she said, you are a very loving person. And she talked about how loving Delonda is, and she is. And then Lucy said something like, we'll see. Delonda, over the next few weeks, found herself always irritated with me. Now, I can be irritating, but she usually has the grace for me. And she found herself just irritated with me all the time. I'm like, I know I'm irritating, but come on, you know. Figure it out. I've always been irritating, you know. And then it come back to her. We'll see. See, because the Lord says things to us. He releases things about us prophetically, and He encourages us. But the devil's always there going, we'll see. Because if the devil can knock you off point to stop you from submitting, then you can't resist. Then you receive whatever the enemy throws at you. And pretty soon you can find yourself, I thank God the Lord is such a godly woman because she catches herself. She's like, oh man. And then she says, hey, I'm sorry. You know, and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, man. Hey, you know, I know it's me, but come on. You know, because she is so loving. But I know that the enemy of our soul tries to get us to do the things we're not supposed to do. And he does it, especially when we make that commitment. I'm going to fast. You'd be so hungry. And this week, you're going to experience hunger. I'm telling you right now, because that's what happens when we resist against the enemy. Man, you know, it's like, you say, I'm going to fast sugar. And somebody comes and gives you a bag of candy. Jeanette gave me a box of See's candy. I said, I'm not eating sugar no more. And the next day she comes home with a box of candy. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I don't know. That's just what happens. You know, you get tempted, you know? And praise God, I did not eat one piece of that candy. So, we humble ourselves and move towards God. He moves towards us. You're dying to your flesh and God responds. It opens up the airwaves so that we can hear. Remember this. In Genesis chapter 3, it says this. It says, in the cool of the day, God came down to the garden. And he called out, Adam, where are you? You know, I get so excited when I hear that. Because in the cool of the day, God came down to fellowship with his creation. Because God desires fellowship with his creation. And we are his created beings. Amen? He desires fellowship with you. And so as we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us because he desires fellowship with us. Amen? And I told First Service, I believe that you know, because of our times of prayer in this house, what God is doing, that God is going to begin to move, walk the aisles of this church. You're going to see some things supernatural in the days ahead. Because God, as we are drawing near to him, he's drawing near to us. Number three, to understand God's word more clearly. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. Well, here you go. Start fasting so you can understand the word of God more clearly. Amen? And when we fast, we're dying to our flesh and we're bringing our spirit man to the front and we're allowing our ears to hear more intently what the Spirit would say to us. And that's what happens when we read the Word. So when you read the Word, or let me put it this way, when you fast, instead of just dying through that time of skipping that meal, take the time that you would have prepared the meal and ate it and read your Word. And pray and seek God. Amen? So that when you bring you greater understanding, because your flesh, I'm going to point it as you want, your flesh is dying, your spirit is coming alive, and your mind, your soul is getting understanding. And also in Isaiah chapter 11, you can turn over there, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. It's not in my notes. So Isaiah 11, verse 2, it talks about the seven spirits of God. It says, The Spirit of the Lord shall rest. Number one is rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So the Spirit of understanding can be poured out on us so that we can receive from the Word of God so that we understand it better. Amen? So that we're making right decisions. Amen? Because how many of you would make different decisions if you understood what you were really deciding? I know that's true. You know, there's times we make a decision when we don't fully understand what we're doing. I remember one time I went to go buy a car. And I understood what I could do. The Lord said, you can put this much down and you can put this much a month. I said, okay. So I went in and the guy says, the manager met with me. He turned the screen around. He goes, okay, this much down, this much a month. I said, get the car ready. I'm taking it home. Got the car ready, signed the contract because it was exact. It was exact what I could do. The Lord told me I could do. I had great understanding in this. He called me a few days later. He said, Mr. King, we're having a hard time getting you financed. We're going to need you to bring in $1,800 more. I said, well, okay, that's great. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, my wife went out of town. When she gets back, I'm going to bring the van back. He's like, what? I go, I'm going to bring the van back. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, listen. I said, I asked the Lord, how much money can I put down and how much money can I pay a month? And that was the deal we signed. I said, so if you're changing the deal, that means God's got something else for me, so I'm going to bring you your used van back. He said, Mr. King, I'll call you back. He called me back 2 days later. I said, Mr. King, we got you financed. You know, could you come in and sign the papers? I said, absolutely. You see, when you get that understanding from God on things, you don't worry, you don't stress. I didn't stress. I thought, wow, I'm just going to bring your car back. That was easy for me. They didn't want a used car back, Bob. My wife went camping. They didn't want that thing back. But you have to know, the Spirit of God wants to do these things in you. the understanding, the wisdom, the counsel, the might, the knowledge, the fear, the rest. That's what God wants to do. So the next one, number four, is to receive direction for your life. How many of you could use some direction now and then from the Lord? Let me just say it in one word. Fast. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. It says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ava, that we might humble ourselves," there it is again, "humble ourselves before our God, to seek Him," everybody say Him, "the right way for us and our little ones and our possessions." So, fasting for direction. Fasting for direction for yourselves. Fasting for direction for your kids. Fasting for direction of your possessions. Okay? Because we all need direction. You know, I was telling a young man here today, I asked him, I said, "How old are you?" He goes, "I'm 15. I said, "My mom brought me to this church when I was 15. I said, "And I've never left. Always been faithful. I never leave a church. I would never leave a church unless God said, get out of that place. No matter what." And it hasn't been all fun. There are a few times my flesh screamed and said, "Leave." I'm like, "I'm not leaving until God tells me to. I don't care what my flesh tells me. I am not leaving. No matter what happens, I am staying the course." And man, I have submitted to God in that. And God, look at what He's done today. That's God. For myself, direction. God told me this. We had a man last October that came to the church from India. And he spoke and he said, "Pastor Ron, how many flags do you have?" And I started looking, I started counting. He goes, "You have 18 flags. I said, "Okay." He goes, "That's how many nations God's going to send you to." Maureen ran to the front and said, "We need to stop the meeting." I'm like, "Why?" She goes, "We need to pray over you. We need to release you to go to those 18 nations. We need to get behind you to send you to those 18 nations. Maureen, I'm telling you, I've told so many pastors that story, and they just dream of having deacons like that. Because people just don't, churches don't respond that way. But you guys have responded. And God told me to go, and you said, "Yes, Lord, we'll get behind him and we'll send him." You guys have sent me to Pakistan this year. I've been to China 3 times in the last year. I've been to Peru 2 times in the last year and a half. You guys are doing amazing work. It all gets accounted back to you because you know the direction that God has called me, and you said, "Yes, Lord." And God is doing wonderful things. And he's doing wonderful things here. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we launched small groups. And I was so encouraged by all the people that went to small groups. And I want to encourage you, get involved in the small groups. Connect in the small groups. Amen. You get to know the body of Christ. Fasting, direction for your children. How many of you got children? How many wish you could tell your children what to do? I say wish because there comes a point, you know, where every child's going to make their decisions. But instead of being that voice that's like, "Meh, meh, meh, meh," because that's what they hear. You know, remember, you know, what is it? That Charlie Brown cartoon is very wah, 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 wah. And that's what our kids hear when we try to tell them something. I'm not that way, Mom. I listen to you. I learned a long time ago, honor my father and my mother and I'll live a long, happy life. I know that. So I honor my mom. I listen to my mama. Amen. Fast for your children. Fast for them. Fast and pray for your kids. That God will do something. How many of you saw the movie War Room? Well, there it is. Just do that. You know, but while you're writing your prayers on the wall or whatever, fast. He gives direction. And then your possessions. You know, God will tell you what to do with your money and with what you're possessing. God will tell you what to do with it. Because the one thing I know for sure, you can't take it with you. It's going to be lifted. So ask God what He would have you to do with your possessions. Ask God. You know, when I had my own business, man, I really didn't know how to tithe when I owned my own business. It was hard, you know, because, you know, you get 50% down to do a job and you got to, You know, you got to buy the materials, you got to pay machine payments, you got to pay your building payment. You know, then you got your house payment, you got food bills over here, you know, you got all that. And then you do the job and then you get 50% down. I'm like, Lord, how do I tithe out of this? What do I tithe on? And the Lord said, just give this amount every month. I'm like, oh, really? I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. But you know what? I always had more than enough. I gave, that first year I started my business, they said you don't make money your first 5 years in business. I gave $17,000 that year. I'm only telling you that because I'm excited about I was able to do that. I was amazed, Rick, that I could do that. I'm like, I just started my business. And they said, well, you won't be able to buy a home for years now since you're starting your own business. Well, I bought a home that year too. I went to the Philippines that year and ministered with my whole family. I took my whole family to New York for a day of prayer and fasting that year. And I bought a house. I mean, it's amazing, Juwan, when you submit to God and you resist the enemy, what he can do. He gave me direction. And listen, God is not disengaged from this life. You know, I read in 1 Kings chapter 17 or 18 right in there, there's a prophet Micaiah. And they said, what do you see? He says, I see the Lord sitting on the throne. And I see the host of heaven around him giving strategies for the earth. The host of heaven strategizing for the earth. And Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a plan for you. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So when you take that to heart, God is up there right now, and he's thinking about, how can I give you a future and a hope that's blessed? He's not up there going, well, let me see how I can make your life miserable, Lori. I know you've been through some tough things. You're in a battle, you're in a fight right now for your sons, and you know what? God is on the throne. Father, I pray right now for Lori. I pray right now, Father God, for the fight that she's in. Lord, your word declares in Deuteronomy that the battle belongs to the Lord. So Lord, your healing, Lord, for her son is in your hands. And we pray for the release today. We pray that his leg be made whole, Father God. And Father, I pray for just even the weight that's been put on my sister to get off in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for just joy. Joy, joy in the midst of this battle. I pray for the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. The garment of praise to be over her, Father. That you cover her, protect her, Lord. That she just rejoice in this to destroy the plans of the enemy, Father. And Lord, that her son would see it and believe in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. God's not up there going, oh, let me see how hard I can make your day. God's not up there, oh, let me see if I can pound on you a little bit. God's up there going, let me see, how can I bless you today? How can I bless you? How can I bless your children today? How can I bring your children into that position that you shine? God is desiring a move of his spirit in the land and in us and in our families. And so we, you know, as we pray, as we fast, as we receive direction, know that God is not disengaged. He's engaging with us. He desires to engage with us. He desires that relationship that we can hear from heaven and that he'll hear us. Amen? Amen. So receive direction for your life. Number five, for healing and deliverance. Healing and deliverance. Isaiah 58, we prayed this through, the whole thing through Friday night. Isaiah 58 is fasting. The whole chapter's on fasting. I'm not going to read the first part of it, but I'm going to read from verse 8 on. And I want you to capture, this is what happens when you fast. This is the power behind fasting. It says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Hallelujah. How many of you ever seen that sun come up and that light comes across the land? That is your light. Think of your light springing forth like the morning. And listen, your healing shall spring forth speedily, rapidly. rapidly. Amen. Yeah, if you need healing, how many of you need healing right now? Just raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the healing power of the blood of Jesus would cause that healing to spring forth speedily, Father God. That, Lord, we wouldn't have to wait and wonder and wander. But, Lord, there'd be a speedy recovery right now. A healing and a raising up of the men and women of God in this house, Lord. In the name of Jesus, speedily. And your righteousness, listen, your righteousness shall go before you. Your righteousness shows up before you get there. Hallelujah. You walk into the place and they're like, uh-oh. Because they feel a change. Because the rightness of God is in you. Your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. It doesn't matter what they say behind your back. God's got your back, Juwan. It doesn't matter what anybody says. He's got your back. You're like, He is your rear guard. I know because we have, you know, the armor of God. And we put on the armor of God. But there's nothing that says that protects the backside. But the Lord does it. The Lord does it. He shall protect our backside. Hallelujah. And then it says, you shall call. And the Lord will answer you. You shall call on the Lord and He will answer you. He will answer you. He's not up there going, what'd they say? No, He's like, hey, Bob, yeah, sure, let's go. See, God answers. He wants to answer. And He just wants us to have an ear to hear. God spoke to me one time. I'm not kidding. It was so powerful. I was right here. I was young. I wasn't a pastor yet. And God began to tell me all these things. And man, I was tore up. He's telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, I'm crying so hard. And He said, if you believe me, I want you to go lay on the altar. I'm like, nobody's at the altar, God. He says, if you believe me, go lay on the altar. I went and laid on the altar. And God just poured into me. I said, God, how come I don't hear your voice like this all the time? And He said, Ron, why don't you listen like this all the time? See, God desires to speak, but do you want to hear? Do you want to hear what He's saying? Do you want to grasp? You shall call on the Lord. He will answer. You shall cry and He'll say, here I am. Woo! If you take away the yoke from your midst, pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Listen, if you're going to fast, make the meal anyways and give it to somebody. That's what it's saying. Extend your soul when you're hungry. And when you're hungry and you go to In-N-Out, Ron, you get that burger in your hand and you say, where's a homeless guy that I can feed him today? And you choose not to eat it. But you choose to give up that meal. That's what it's talking about. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then there's always a then with God, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. Hallelujah. Your darkness shall be as the noonday. Man, that means your light is going to shine so bright that it doesn't matter how dark it gets around you. There's always going to be light because you're there. Because you're there. And it's powerful. Hallelujah. I read a book this week. I bought some. They'll be in this week. You can pick them up next week. They're $8. It's How to Fast Successfully by Derek Prince. I read it in a little over an hour. On Wednesday, I just shut my door and I went, and I read this book. I'm like, wow, this is going to hit me in my message. Because on this page right here, on page 19, he said, I made a list of 10 specific promises of those who fast according to the will of God. And it's right here in this thing. And it says, light, you shall be light. Your health shall bring forth speedily, amen. So, and then it says, your righteousness will go before you. Hallelujah. The glory of God. Hallelujah. The answered prayer. He answers prayers. The continued guidance. He'll give you continued guidance. How did it say it right there in verse 11? The Lord will guide you continually. Everybody say continually. He'll give you direct. You won't have to wonder. You won't have to wonder, am I doing the right thing? Am I making a mistake? You'll know. You'll know. He'll guide you. He'll bring satisfaction for your soul. He'll bring a refreshing to your spirit. He'll establish you in a work that endures. A work that endures. You know, because I want an enduring work in my life. I don't want a work that's just, I do something and then it falls apart. When the day comes for me to leave New Hope, just like Pastor Dave, I want it to continue on. I want it to be enduring, amen? I want an enduring work. And it says restoration. Restoration. How did it say? It says, those from among you, it says, shall build up the old waste places. God will restore. How many of you need something restored? Huh? Restored. Father, restore today. Restore, God. Restore, Lord. Restore, I pray, Father, where the enemies come to steal, kill, and destroy, I pray that you restore. Restore finances, Father God, back to the people of God. Father, I pray that you restore health to people right now. Lord, I pray you touch my mom today in the name of Jesus. Health in the name of Jesus. To Bob, Father God, touch Bob today. Touch Carol Mondragon, Father God. Touch Tiny Little. Lord, touch them. Touch the people. God. Touch Don Maurice today, Father God. Let health be restored in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it flow, God. Hallelujah. That's a restoration. Restoration. See, these are the benefits of fasting. You getting it? Why we need to fast? Why we need to live a fasted lifestyle? It's amazing. And so the healing spring forth, because the number five is healing and deliverance. And a man brought his son to the disciples and said, hey, I think my kid's demon-possessed. Can you cast them out? And the disciples said, okay, we'll give it a shot. And it didn't work. And Jesus comes by, and the guy says, hey, I asked your disciples to cast this demon out, and they couldn't do it. Could you do it? And Jesus says, yeah. And he casts the demon out of a little kid. And the disciples say, hey, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus challenged him in one thing first. He said, oh, ye of little faith. You know, your faith is going to be challenged in the days ahead. What you believe is going to be challenged. It's already being challenged in America. What are you going to stand up for? You going to stand up for the Word of God? Or are you going to cave and go with society? You going to be of little faith? And then he said this. He said, some only come out by prayer and fasting. Can you imagine this? Madam, listen. Somebody, demon-possessed, right in front of you, and you're like, okay, I can do this. You come back in 2 weeks, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and in 2 weeks, we'll deal with this. They'd be like, what? What do you mean? 2 weeks? My kid's throwing himself in the fire today. We might not have 2 weeks. See, Jesus lived a fasted lifestyle. He fasted all the time. So he was ready when the encounter came. He was ready when the demon-possessed kid's in front of him. In the name of Jesus, you go. In my name, you go, he said. See, we need to be able to do that. I know, man, I go out, I get confronted by demonic stuff all the time. And I'll tell you, one time I had a lady in my office. She was with her sister, and she was telling me all these terrible things that her husband did. And it was bad. It was so bad. I felt so bad for her. And I said, well, let me anoint you and pray for you. So I got out the anointing oil, and I touched her forehead with the anointing oil. And she was possessed. And she started screaming. It was crazy for a few moments. Caught me off guard for a minute. I'm like, oh, devil, you stinking devil. You just revealed yourself. And I cast that demon out in a few minutes. We had a lady here one time. It was during the worship time. They said, hey, this lady wants to accept the Lord. I go, okay, take her over there. And I'll lead her to Jesus. And so I went this way and I went around and I came up and the lady standing there. I said, oh, so you want to give your life to Jesus today? And it was right behind the door right here. And service was going on. And she looked at me in the face and she started screaming like I was attacking her or something. I'm like, and I turned around and I looked at the people that were with her and they said, I'd start praying in tongues if I were you. Church probably thought I was beating this woman or something, you know? It's bad. I said, in the name of Jesus, you come out. So she got delivered and I sat her down on the steps and she says, what just happened? I said, you came in here with company that was not of God, but now we're going to fill you with God in the name of, you know, do you want to give your life to Jesus now? She said, absolutely. So you know, fasting, you know, you don't fast when you're encountered with it. You've already fasted when you're encountered with it. Amen? That's what Jesus did. You know, and you got to have the faith to step into fasting. Because, listen, we need to get some speedily going on. Amen? We need to get some rapid healing going on. We need to see some speed come forth. We need deliverance to happen. Some of you got some friends and family members that need deliverance. We need it to happen quickly. Amen? You know, one thing I don't do, I don't pray for people to be saved no matter what. I pray, I believe God's more powerful than that. I believe God can do the salvation without praying that way. Because I've seen so many people praying, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And then people get so beat up and they don't accept the Lord till they're on their deathbed practically. I want people to accept the Lord while they're still doing good. Amen? Let's get them while they're doing good. Let's fast and pray for them today. And lastly, number six, to intercede and pray on the behalf of others. Now I want to thank those of you that prayed and fasted for me while I was gone in Peru. It really shows. I can really tell. Like when I was in Pakistan, when I was in China, I can tell when people are fasting and praying for me. I told First Service, you know, there was a point in Pakistan where I pulled up to a stop where there were six guards and four of them had machine guns. And they were dragging the people out of the car in front of us. And I'm like, I'm sitting in the front seat. You know, I was a little nervous, got to tell you. But my driver, he just backed up and he drove around it. I'm like, wow, you can do that. He just drove around it. And I believe it's because people were interceding and praying for me. I believe that when I was hiding in an attic in China, hiding from the police, people were praying for me. And I believe that's the only reason why when I go, people say, you go to the tough places. I said, because I have this covering over me that when I go, I'm always okay. I am always safe. Now, I mean, I get into trouble, but God protects me right through it. You know, Noah went through some trouble, didn't he? But he built an ark and God brought him through it. That's what intercession and fasting is. It's that ark that brings us through. You know, and you may have some children that need that intercession and that fasting. We, you know, missionaries that need us to fast and pray for them and believe for them. Amen? Isaiah 58, it said, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and He will say, here I am. So begin to fast. Now, I don't want you to run out of here and try and rip off, you know, well, I'm going to fast this week. Yeah, by Wednesday you'll be eating. That's just how it works, you know. But let's take it in a step, okay? Listen, if we just fast a dinner, one dinner, okay, that we don't eat from lunch to breakfast, we've almost fasted a whole day. If we just skip dinner, okay, and then we can get up in the morning and eat breakfast. If we just skip dinner, then we fasted almost a full day. So I would like to challenge you this week on Tuesday night to not have dinner. Tuesday night. The reason why I'm saying this is because we have service on Wednesday. And we believe in God for greater things during the middle of the week. So I want you, and you can fast on Saturday. You can skip a dinner on Saturday for Sunday. Begin to fast and pray and like I said, you can either cook that meal for somebody and give it to somebody that needs it, or you can skip that meal and make it a time that you fast, a prayer, and in the word of devotion and seeking God in His face in that time of fasting. Amen? So this Tuesday, I'm challenging you to fast dinner, you know, but I know some of you can't go without fat. You have to eat. You know, we got blood sugar levels and stuff. You got to eat. Do something else, man. Turn off, take away a comfort of life. But if you can fast food, that's the first thing. But if you can't do that, man, fast some sugar. Fast some caffeine. Stop drinking coffee or something. You know, if you can turn off the TV, whatever, do something to move towards the Lord this week. Amen? Do something, amen? I know I can go without a meal. Now then maybe next week, let's go dinner and breakfast. Let's just take one day and skip dinner and breakfast. And then we skip in dinner and breakfast, then we fasted a whole day. Can you imagine if we just go skip dinner, breakfast, and lunch? Oh man, we're already into 2 days almost. See, just work. Let's work up to it. But this week, let's just on Tuesday, you see, and the reason why I'm picking a day, not only for Wednesday, but there's power when we're in unity. In Psalms 133, he says, how good and pleasant it is when my brethren dwell together in unity. For there the anointing will flow. And in, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, he said, and they were all together in the upper room in one accord. See, when we're moving in one accord, it brings that anointing. It brings that outpouring of God. And we need it. Amen? So that's why I'm saying Tuesday. If you can't do Tuesday, pick another day. If you can't do a dinner, do something towards moving towards God this week. Amen? Be in unity with the body here. And after, as we continue to move forward, I believe God is preparing us for, before I go to Africa, you know, that we could, because I'm going to Africa in January, that we could fast for a week together at the beginning of the year. And I believe that we could do this if we just work up to it and increase our faith step by step, you know, just taking steps towards moving towards the Lord. And that by January, that first week of January, we could fast and pray and seek His face, and it's not going to be an issue for us. Amen? Amen. Come on! It's just food, huh? So, humble yourself before the Lord. Come close to God. Get better understanding of God's Word. Find God's will and receive direction for your life. Seek healing and deliverance from evil spirits. And intercede and pray on behalf of others through fasting. It carries an incredible weight of promise with it when you step out and fast. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise today for your word. And Lord, your word challenges us to draw near to you. And Lord, as we've come today for that, I pray that your word would just stir our spirit, man, Father God. Not with fear and doubt, but Lord, with a confident expectation of who you are in us. And Lord, that we can realize that as we humble ourselves before you, as we submit our lives to you, that Lord, that the ultimate thing is the enemy will flee from us. And I pray today, Lord, that where the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, that Lord, we would find abundant life in Christ Jesus. Lord, that we would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. That Lord, that we would be confident of who you are in us. And Lord, that we not get knocked off. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I've been feeling a weight. I've been feeling heaviness. I've been feeling depression. And I just need to get that off of me today. Can you pray for me before I go today? If that's you, just raise your hand. You've been feeling that weight. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Well, Father, you saw those hands right now. And I pray for the garment of praise to come on these men and women of God. Lord, that heaviness would go in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, peace would just fill our lives. Lord, I pray against loneliness right now too. That the people of God would not be lonely, but Lord, that they would have fellowship with you. I pray that, Lord, that we could walk with you and we could talk with you every day. And that, Lord, that you would hear the cry of our hearts. I pray a covering of peace over the body of Christ today. I pray protection and blessing on them today. Let healing be their portion as they go. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap today. Hallelujah.